this time. After 15 days in space, the space shuttle Discovery landed safely at Cape Canaveral, Florida at midday today. In business, Washington Mutual expecting up to $2.9 billion in credit losses. More staff cuts in lending sector are possible. Shares of WaMu fell to their lowest level in 20 years. Morgan Stanley taking a new $3.7 billion hit from exposure to subprime mortgages, they say, as part of a spiraling global credit crisis. The Labor Department reports that worker productivity rose 4.9% during the year's fiscal first quarter, double the amount of the previous quarter. It's the biggest surge in U.S. worker productivity since 2003. According to AAA, the national average price for a gallon of unleaded gas went up nearly 2 cents to just over $3.04 a gallon. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow plunging 361 points to end at 13,300, NASDAQ down 76 points, S&P 500 down 45. And there's always more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
And he's back. Riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential. A man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And we're back for the second hour of Strictly Confidential. I am your host, Peter Godbold, and this is LGBT Conversation Radio, as it exists on the Head-On Radio Network. The call-in number is 877, the number 4-HEAD-ON, or 877-443-2366. Or if you have unlimited long distance, please use 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Mail arrives to Peter at Head-On Radio Network. It's been an interesting first hour. One thing I had intended to mention at the beginning of the hour, regarding these endorsements from the right-wing fundies for the various Republican candidates. There have been three so far. I've lost track of all of them except one. The Pat Robertson has endorsed Giuliani. And and although the other two, I'm sure, are important, probably not to us. I think we're all think they're laughing stock. But what is interesting about the Pat Robertson endorsement and what makes the Pat Robertson endorsement different from all of the other right-wing endorsements of the other two candidates is the fact that Pat Robertson has his own network. Yes, indeed, Pat Robertson has a voice that reaches out and touches the masses. That being the case, perhaps Pat Robertson will be giving Giuliani lots of mileage. God knows what sort of thing they cooked up in the back burner webs. You know, all the things that Giuliani has said, I have some news clips of some of that stuff in here somewhere regarding Giuliani. Oh, yes, here we go. I knew it was here somewhere. Giuliani, it was, here we go. Mitt Romney was endorsed by Paul Weyrich, and he's the founder of the Heritage Foundation. I think John McCain got the heads up from Brownback, who we all know and love. But according to this source, Giuliani got the biggest fish in the Christian ocean. He has his own network. And Giuliani is, of course, having to take along with Robertson all of his outrageous comments in the past. Back in 2000, Robertson endorsed George W. Bush. Robertson also said once that Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and Methodists represent the spirit of the Antichrist. Oh, Jesus. It seems you would think that an endorsement from him would be the kiss of death, but not in their world. I don't know what color their sky is. I don't know what if they breathe oxygen or what the whole deal is. He also maintained in that story where the Episcopalians and Presbyterians and Methodists were the spirit of the Antichrist, he maintained that liberal Jews were mounting an ongoing attempt to undermine the public strength of Christianity, and he repeatedly, not once, not twice, he repeatedly called Hinduism devil worship. Robertson is, of course, insane. Robertson said that God sent a hurricane to Disney World because of gay days. He claimed that George W. Bush, H.W., was doing the bidding of Satan, regarding the New World Order and the Gulf War. Oh, the list goes on and on and on. It's you know, you couldn't cover it all if you tried to. But I'm just pointing out Giuliani has been endorsed by men with one hell of a lot of baggage. Now, of course, the mainstream media will never bring this up because the mainstream media has a memory span of exactly one day. It starts at 6 a.m. and it ends, oh, probably around 9:30 or 10. And then the day starts over. Not just starts over, but everything is wiped clean. Nothing ever happened before. It's all new news. So there is no contradictions. There's no comparisons to past statements. There's no bringing out the hypocrisy, so none of this will ever come up, of course, but amongst the people who know these things, of which you are one, he indeed has said the Episcopalians and Presbyterians and Methodists represent the spirit of the Antichrist. And judging from what I know now about the Southern Methodist University and the George Bush Library and the board of directors there, the staff who's perhaps the Methodists do represent the spirit of the Antichrist. Maybe he was right. Wouldn't surprise me. Chat room is telling me they should lock Robertson up at Jell-O. I completely agree. Jury selection, by the way, has started in Florida for the toe-tapping wide stance senator. Yes, indeed, it has started in Florida. Not having much luck. You know, they're arguing that he's not going to get a fair trial. You know, it's been all over the news, especially South Florida. I mean, it's just everywhere. There's been a lot of talk about there down there that he said that he offered the officer $20 because he was big and black and he was scared of the big and black ones, and which of course is not a wise thing to say. There's also it's been all over the news that when he was arrested, he was pointing out, he says when he was being arrested, "I don't suppose it'd help if I was a state legislator, would it?" Of course, trying to use his office to get out of trouble. The judge has said that those comments cannot be used in the trial. Speaking of things like that, in Central Florida, News 13 reported that former city commissioner of Daytona Beach, Mike Shallow, that's Mike Shallow with an R. He actually lost his bid for mayor last month to the mayoral incumbent, Glenn Ritchie. He was arrested at Sears, and he wasn't buying a washing machine. He was doing the wide stance, toe-tapping dance. So far, getting back to Craig, three men and three women have been chosen for jurors. The one's a Christian school teacher, and one's a county parks recreation employee. One is a Florida Power and Light employee, and the other a retired bookkeeper. One of the eight jurors is black. In addition to questions about prostitution, the prosecutor asked the jurors about biographical information and if they knew anything about the public park that Craig was in. You know, they'd been to the park. And the defense questions were prying into the ability, asking the jurors of, if a defendant, if they can't present all the evidence to, you know, make sure that someone is guilty, would you be able to say they're not guilty if the trial doesn't match and they're not able to prove all the elements, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that's the latest on the toe tap, and the jury is coming along. You know, this particular story, I'm going to get into it. I don't think I have quite as hard of a feeling about it as the fellow who wrote this. His name is Kenneth Hall. It reminds me, though, of the email I got earlier from our new listener in North Carolina who said that she had been watching the series called The L Word, and I think that is a Showtime series. And of course, L means lesbian. She referred to it as Hollywood's Hollywood sex show and had absolutely nothing to do with lesbians, and so that brought me back to Brokeback Mountain. I began thinking about the Brokeback thing. I'd not seen the L Word. If any of you have, I'd appreciate a phone call from you to talk about your impressions of the L Word. If it's anything like Queer as Folk, I didn't particularly like Queer as Folk. Now, a lot of people liked it, but I thought it was just not us, a little bit over the top. But anyway, this fellow Kenneth Hall, he writes a fairly scathing report on Brokeback Mountain. He calls it Brokeback Breadcrumbs, and he calls it an I Told You So post. And I'm not quite as grim as he is, because I think, you know, as these things come into the awareness of the public, you know, attitudes change slowly. I'm not sure exactly what he expected Brokeback Mountain to do. But in any case, he says, during the year of Brokeback Mountain, the media and the gay blogosphere and every gay bar in town was buzzing with the news of a revolution. He said Brokeback Mountain was a breakthrough, a major advance for gay rights, and a film that was going to turn Hollywood inside out. Two major Hollywood straight guys had kissed and even barebacked on the silver screen. The world had changed. Well, bullshit, says the writer. They've thrown us breadcrumbs and we pounce on them like idiot pigeons. And apparently he's writing this because Entertainment Weekly is saying something along the same lines. Entertainment Weekly is writing, Brokeback was more than a movie. It was a phenomenon that commanded the cultural conversation for months, from Jay Leno to YouTube to the cover of The New Yorker. And most important, it proved that straight audiences would snap up tickets to same-sex romances. Entertainment Weekly goes on to say that since then, few gay-themed films have been released, except for, it points out, a movie called Notes on a Scandal. By the way, I've seen Notes on a Scandal, and it is hardly a positive movie. Notes on a Scandal, although quite good, is about a fairly disturbed, lonely, older lesbian woman, and she becomes kind of a stalker. Anyway, it's not a scary movie, but it's one of the sick LGBT type movies, you know, the sicko types. But anyway, I have seen it. They go on to say that seemingly no studio nor any studio art house has greenlit a film with a gay lead character. They're saying that I don't think any studio responded by, quick, let's dust off all the gay dramas we have and get them out there, in a response to Brokeback Mountain. Also, it was surprising that Brokeback could possibly lose to the movie Crash in the Oscars. And they are saying that, Entertainment Weekly is saying that the real shock is just now settling in. Brokeback may have changed nothing. I don't know what they expected it to change. Certainly, though, once you have that in the public conscience and the public mindset, people change slowly over time. It becomes part of the culture. But I don't think the intent of a Hollywood movie is to change. In other words, I'm just not quite as angry as Mr. Kenneth Hill is over this, or as disappointed. He says exactly nothing has changed, Kenneth does. He says, well, maybe something changed. The big gay movies written and directed starred heterosexuals and added yet another way to insult queers by using words like Brokeback Jeter, and that's so Brokeback. Goes on to say that 2 years later, in a world that Brokeback did not change, we remain second-class citizens. Of course, it takes laws to change that, not movies, but the movies have an effect. Anti-same-sex marriage laws have advanced 50%. He goes on, quote, say, number of statistics. One interesting one he points out is the myth of the pink dollar has been poked full of holes by new research that demonstrates that gay men are paid on average 23% less than straight men in corporate America. Well, I don't care what you say. Some of them are rich. They're really rich. I ain't one of them, but some of them are really rich. And then he goes on about Enda and how it's a political and social joke and breadcrumbs, etc., etc. Methinks the man expects too much of a movie. It's anyway, but if you've ever read the little short story that Brokeback Mountain is based on, it's only like 49 pages. I've forgotten the name of the woman who wrote it. It was a feature in the New York Times. What was it? The New York Magazine, one of the... I've forgotten the name, but the New York Magazine. I think it appeared over like 3 weeks, something like that. It's a short series. Wonderful short story. And actually, it's quite amazing that it was made into a movie. The short story just broke my heart. The movie didn't impact me as deeply, possibly because I'd already read the story. But nonetheless, that's the news there. And by the way, Republican candidate Mitt Romney is having problems. His ads are appearing on gay.com. Of course, gay.com consistently carries ads from Jeep and Toyota and all the big names. But Mitt Romney was very upset to find that his ads were running on gay.com. In case he is taking steps to stop that right away. I mean, that sort of thing has actually happened to us. I think on the Head On Radio Network main site, we had a political ad one time ran. You know, these ads are assigned by big computers up in the sky to run on various sites. I think you can limit them or filter them in some way. But, you know, that sort of thing happens. But it's funny that, you know, Head On Radio Network is one thing for a conservative candidate, a Republican, to post his ad by mistake. But gay.com, for crying out loud, what are you guys thinking? You guys, what in the world are you thinking? If you recall, I did a story a few weeks ago telling you how desperately in need the Iraqi LGBT community was, that the nation's five safe houses, two of them, as I indicated a couple of weeks ago, two of the nation's, meaning Iraq's, five safe houses have been forced to shutter themselves, and 30 to 50 residents who were cared for in these safe houses have now had to take their chances back on the street, where the religious militia regularly seek out gays and they execute them. We feel deserted by the international gay community. Few people seem to care about our fate. Well, I care, and this network cares. A 29-year-old lesbian named Sarah has had a similar message. The world has let us down so badly. It's not too late to help rectify this situation. You can still donate to the Iraqi LGBT Fund. And, of course, they hold the U.S.-led invasion responsible for the country's blood turmoil, as we all should. Several months ago, there were two lesbians working with the Iraqi LGBT community. They were assassinated in a safe house they were running, along with a young boy the women had rescued from the sex industry. Three of the five safe houses have closed so far due to lack of funds. They have to pay for rent, utility bills, armed guards. It's a safe place for LGBT and transgendered individuals who fled their communities where they grew up because they are known as homosexuals. And of course there is a fatwa. You see, the fatwa states, which was by Al-Sadr, I believe, I have it somewhere. In any case, the fatwa indicates that LGBT folks should be killed. Here it is, the quote. It was Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani. That LGBT folks should be killed, and this is a quote, in the worst, most severe way possible. Brutally killed. And that's what they're up against. Over there in that wonderful country where they're holding up their purple fingers. Yep. The war is over, he said on the deck of the ship. If you can possibly send them any funds, it would be greatly appreciated. You can go to http://// iraqilgbtuk.blogspot.com. That is Iraqi, Iraqi, LGBT, UK, for United Kingdom, .blogspot.com. You see, all of this is based in the United Kingdom because, you know, they can't even open a bank account there. Can you imagine if they opened a bank account for to help LGBT folks in Iraq? So there's a PayPal button there. It's all on the up and up. The entire planet is aware of these people and what they're trying to do to help. When I mentioned this before, there was a plea for funds. I believe they raised about $2,000. And this is on all the the gay blogs, and it's on my program. I'm not sure if any other LGBT radio programs are mentioning it or not, but it's very sad. These people's lives depend on this. You know, the Rockies, it's so pathetic. What are it's over a million. I think the numbers now are over a million have been killed. They're displaced everywhere. It's not just the LGBT community that's affected. Lord. Disgusting, sad place. I have a couple of music requests I'm going to get to before the evening is out. One I have been trying to play for a week or so now. It was used in Queer as Folk, which I just told you I didn't take care for. It was used in season two of Queer as Folk. We tried to play this a while back, but we never got to it. Now, who it's by, they're sometimes referred to as the Kink Boys. Other times they're referred to as the Kinky Boys. But in any case, this is an Almighty remix, which is our friends in London who do the Almighty remixes. And again, this appeared in the second season of Queer as Folk. It was not written for this. It was not written for Queer as Folk. It was a huge dance hit, but they happened to use it on Queer as Folk. And I can't resist playing for you. It's just a fun song. It's called The Only Way Is Up. Thank you. I couldn't resist running that track. It's always been one of my favorites. Well, not always, but ever since I first heard it, it's been one of my favorites. And in the This Is Just In department, we do have a caller I'm going to take her in just a moment, but we have it in This Just In department. The Netherlands has told its ambassadors in countries receiving foreign aid that they must lobby those nations to decriminalize homosexuality and provide LGBT civil rights. The announcement was made by the Netherlands Parliament by the development minister. The Netherlands is a major donor to developing nations, giving almost $6 billion annually, mostly in Africa, Latin America, and Asia. There's a little bit more to that story, but it ties in directly, and I'm glad it just came up. It ties in directly to a story that came out the end of October, which we hadn't gotten to on this show yet. You know, if I don't tell you here, it hasn't happened. That's the general rule. And it has to do with the Episcopal Church. You realize that the Episcopal Church is in the middle of a huge breakup and split, primarily because of the African branch of the church. In fact, the article asks the question, are they African primitives or African primates? The Episcopal Diocese of California and the Diocese of Montreal have voted to allow priests to bless same-sex unions, which, of course, is a direct violation to the threats of splitting up from Africa. And now we have the Netherlands saying that they are going to perhaps withhold help and funding to countries like Africa, which was listed first in the list of countries that receive. So I'm sure this is going to upset the African prejudice people very deeply. The clergy and the lay delegates approved it. It was a unanimous decision to refuse to discriminate against partnered gays and lesbians, and this just happened at the end. Then it went up for a vote in Montreal, and it was 103-57 to support blessings of gay marriages regardless. So it looks like the Episcopal Church is going to be splitting fairly soon, and ain't nothing new here. The Baptists split 100 years ago. Ain't nothing new here. Let them go. You know, they'll catch up one of these centuries. We have caller Kate. Kate, welcome to the show. I love you. Welcome.
Well, thank you, kind sir. I just thought I'd call because I knew you were dancing in the studio, so I thought I'd just call and dance with you. It's easy to get warm when you're dancing to that cut, huh?
I like that song. Very high energy.
Not all of Africa is, there's some really interesting things going on, and I thought about this while I was listening to the story about the Episcopalians. I think it's in Ghana. There's a group of young people who have taken the AIDS crisis into their own hands and said, well, if you're not going to, they're fighting the World Bank and all the pig money that's going to AIDS education and condoms and, you know, from here and all, you know, it's just a mess. But they, one of the young men said they are taking, because it's so hard to talk to parents about condoms because of the cultural issues, the kids have these little seminars and they have these little groups and they go into schools and teaches kids how to talk about it and how to use condoms and what they're about. You know, he does the whole shtick, you know, like we should be doing with third and fourth graders here in this country. And they're teaching the kids how to be proactive in the use of condoms and prevention. And it's just wonderful. I heard this story on shortwave about, probably a year ago. And I was so pleased. And I have a friend who's working in the AIDS programs over there too, and it's just there's so not all of Africa, not every country in Africa is backward, and whether they're primates or primitives, oh my God, I just know what the God
getting pretty ugly, Kate. I can tell you the words are flying, my friend.
I know, my God, and the other thing tonight on the show that just made me sick was hearing Pat Boone, because when I was little, well, I don't know, junior high maybe, when he first came out with Wonderful Time Up There.
It was huge.
Kind of a gospel song, yeah. And I played that, the radio station in Montana played that song about, I don't know, 5 or 6 times an hour, and I learned the words to it the first night that it played, and he was such a hero of mine because he was so, I don't know, Montana-esque, you know, clean-cut, white bread kind of thing, and the whole radical religious thing wasn't a big deal, and when he married Shirley, it was kind of cool because Red Foley was always a kind of a hero of mine, and so to hear these other creeps, I don't even know, the people on Bob's show tonight, I don't even know, and I got that woman you called about, I don't even know who those people are, you know, so they just kind of go over my head, you know, oh, isn't that awful? But when I
they're huge, the religion industry, they're religion industry magnates is what they are, they're huge, rich, top of the heap religion industry.
Well, yeah, I'm aware of that, but I just don't know them in particular, the personalities, but when I heard him, I just got sick to my stomach. That spewing forth was, oh God, it just embarrassed me that I even ever thought highly of him, but, yuck. Anyway, is two minks in your boas going to be enough tonight? Is that enough heat for you?
Actually, I'm quite comfortable now. I every year when you first turn on the heat, there's this huge challenge to figure out where you're supposed to set it. I mean, you get used to it after a while, you know. The first night is always awkward. You have to turn it up and turn it down, and then it gets too hot. You open a door. And, So I'm going through the huge. The huge figured out. By the way, Kate, speaking of Barry Manilow, which we weren't, but we were the other evening.
We will now.
Yeah. I got in trouble. I got in such trouble from some of my listeners. Do you remember I started beating up on Barry Manilow and I said something bad about Mandy?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, some of the listeners really like me, and I'm so sorry that I'm going to have to find a much more... gentle way to say things. I've always been just too opinionated. But anyway, I think I'm going to have to play Mandy one night soon to offer a mea culpa.
Yeah, and Bob needs to call Agnes to the radio, too, to the computer, because I think he said she's been singing that song all day or something. Maybe that was on Billy Shear's show. I don't remember.
I think you're right. In fact, after I had uttered the words, something bad about Mandy, I happened to look up in chat and I realized that Agnes liked it, and I didn't get a hateful email from Agnes by any means, but I did notice that, yeah, oops, I sort of put my foot in it that time.
Well, I guess it's one of those cultural things. I mean, people do and they don't, and kind of reminds me of Night Sounds, but Billy often plays things that I think, oh my God, yuck. Oh, I hate this song. and other people going, oh, great track, Billy, track. And I think, you know, it's a matter of likes and dislikes and what decade you came up in, you know, whatever. And the other story that just kind of amazed me, I'm just still puzzling over it a bit. But I'm distracted by the chat room and, you know, others and the music you're playing, is that the increase in couples who have moved into or who are, they're reporting an increase. I'm wondering if, like, my first reaction is, who the hell would move to Utah? I've lived in Utah, and it's awful.
Well, this is what I'm wondering about, Kate. They're talking about huge percentages, 800% and all this stuff, and this is like... the University of California or UCLA, and this guy is like a super duper. So you figure the numbers are all correct. I cannot wait to talk to this guy.
Yeah, really. I'm wondering if it's just not that people are already there and they're just being reported now. They're kind of coming out of the closet for the survey or something, because I just can't imagine an 800% increase. Oh my God, it just doesn't seem. I don't know. I guess I would want to know why people are moving to those places. I hope they bring their music with them.
Well, I'll be curious. I'll be very curious to speak with them. One of the things that this article pointed out that I didn't bring up was the fact that, what is it, Brigham? I think the university is called Brigham Young University, if I'm not mistaken. And apparently they have changed their rules that if you are, come out as being an LGBT-type folks, you're not kicked out of the university anymore. So things maybe are changing a little bit. And, Kate, I just kind of think that maybe it's people that have been there all along that just chose to remain invisible. But this fellow seems to think they're moving, and maybe it's a little bit of both, but it should be an interesting conversation. Besides, I love talking to professors. I always get it over my head. It's always really cool.
You do not. You do such a good job, and if you're faking it, it don't even show. So shut up. Don't even go there.
Okay.
And I'm really encouraged that we have new listeners from the South, and the woman who said they aren't night owls, so I'm hoping that they do the archives and that sort of thing. And I'm wondering, when people don't call in, I'm wondering why that is. Is that, the shy thing doesn't get it. I mean, you don't have to. That passes. You can get unshy in a chat room. But just the practice, just call in and say, hi, I'm hanging up now. I'm wondering what people, if you had a special night where people could call in and just talk about the subjects they want to talk about instead, because a lot of times, frankly, some of the stuff you do is just there's no response to it. I just sit here and go, oh my God. Oh,
really?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good point, Kate, because a lot of times when I do a story, I kind of like finalize it. It's like I don't leave them a lot of times open for. I'll have to try to figure out a better way to present.
Oh, no. Listen to me say this again. It's not your presentation, it's the fact that the stories are so overwhelming. Sometimes they just don't demand a response. They're just, because I just sit here and go, oh my God. And there's nothing to say. I mean, it's not your presentation. It's not the material. It's not the format. I mean, it's just like sometimes there's just nothing to say. It's just like so horrible. Like the guy up in Tennessee who got beat up by the drug bust. I mean, what, you call in and say, well, hi, what's going on? There's nothing to say. So I just wonder if maybe I've been thinking about this quite a bit. One night somebody came in and chat, I assume it's a young man. He said, I asked him something in IM in the window, in his window, and something about music or something, and he said, Yeah. He answered me, and he said, and who are you? And I told him, and he said, oh, my God, you are Kate? Oh, my God. And I thought, oh, shit. He said, every time. He said, I listen to the archives every day because I can't listen at night. And he said, every time I hear you say, you guys, you just need to call in and talk to Peter. This is a conversation radio program. And he said, I feel like shit every time you say that. And so he said, someday I'm going to call. I don't know if he's ever called in or not, but I just have to. I'm like a one-trick pony. I have just one subject, It's like, please call in and talk. This is conversation radio, and you're pulling a huge train. And you have to do all this prep work, and then nobody responds to you. And it's not like you're not listening or not responding, but I think people just don't kind of know how to slip into the stream. So maybe if people would email you at least and say, well, I'd call in if, or could we cover this topic on some night in the month or something like that,
Well, that's a good idea. I've listened to Michelangelo's show in the past. I haven't been able to recently, but quite a while ago I used to listen to it fairly regularly, and before he brings up a topic, he brings up like several different points of views, and then what do you think? He'll say, what do you think? And then he'll do the number, and then he'll do some more in the story, and then bring up several possible. So maybe that's a good way to do it. I'll have to talk to Uncle Bob. Uncle Bob's the master. He's
Well, I don't want to come off sounding like program director or technical advisor or anything like that, but I'm often concerned that nobody's calling in, and I think it's because it's not that they're not out there. Y'all call in, okay? And I'm also real scared about, you know, I mean, people who don't listen to Bob's program, it just worries me about the funding that we're not getting, and someday we're just going to turn on the computer and the air's going to be dead because the money didn't come in, and that scares me a lot. And people just kind of like, it's kind of like National Public Radio. Well, somebody else will do it, you know. I mean, I don't have to, they don't need, I've only got $5 this month, so, you know, or my taxes are due, so I don't have any money. Well, I mean, $5 would be, you know, why do I keep saying, you know, $5 would add to the pot. So I don't know if you have a cut that you can do about people sending money and keeping us on the air and keeping the mics all hot. That'd be nice, you know. So anyway, that's about all I had. You're probably running right up to the end of the hour. Do we do? Is Cynthia in the room?
Cynthia is here. She's having a cocktail. And I think she's trying on some of my boas. But, yes, she's getting ready for her performance. Ms. Manley is in the room.
Cynthia's in the green room. We're waiting for the downbeat. She'll hit it any minute.
Any minute. Well, and here's Ms. Manley.
Yeah, right. Reminding you. Anyway, it's good to talk to you tonight. It's good to hear. It was a good show. I appreciated all the sound bites you had. Those creeps are just. I think it's good. It's encouraging to me though when we're taking over. You know, I mean, it's. And Glenn said it one night. So it's the music, and we just got to keep dancing. You know, I mean, we can't kill them. And they can kill us, but we can just keep dancing. We can just keep on dancing, you know.
No, you sure want to kill them.
I don't. I don't want to even go there. It just they're just misguided and evil and crooked, and they're pigs. And I mean, so still saying like we could kill them until God they died, but that doesn't work.
let God sort them out.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. But that doesn't. Then we act like them, you know. So I think I agree with Glenn. It's the music. We just have to keep dancing and playing music. And they're starting to drop like flies, and they're going away one by one, and they're getting replaced by their spawn. But you know, we'll get them too. We can kill them with kindness and love and just keep dancing. But the music's contagious too. You know, if we played it loud enough and often enough, we could get some of them dancing.
That's always been my goal.
Thank you. Well,
play the right track loud enough and rule the world. That's my secret plan. In case anybody's wondering, eventually I'll find the right track.
It's about those 12 inches, right?
Yeah, it's sure by now.
Okay. Right on. Okay, I'm out of here. Cynthia's getting closer, so love you, and talk to you again later on in the week.
Thank you, and thank you so much for calling, Kate. We always enjoy hearing from you. And good evening to you. Let us see. We have 10:52. Oh. 52, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 4 minutes. No, I'm not going to try to sneak in another track. There are other nights, there are other nights and other tracks, but we won't try to force any at the last minute. I am going to talk about this. It's the religious right's new tactic for invading the public schools. You realize that that's been a bitter pill for them to swallow for many, many, many years, ever since the whole thing about separation of church and state. They have constantly come back, time after time after time, trying to slip it all back in. You know, the law requires that every public school, you know, adopt a policy guaranteeing students' rights. And I'm talking about Texas, their rights to religious expression, and it mandates that schools create a limited public forum for religion and religious speech. For example, a student could read the morning announcements over a loudspeaker and then lapse into a prayer or mini sermon. In other words, it's fine if the students do it, you know, it's just another effort, really, to get around the Supreme Court ruling that separation of church and state. So basically what they're doing now in Texas, Texas Governor Rick Perry has signed something called, and you're going to love this, the Religious Viewpoints Anti-Discrimination Act. you got to love the wording of some of this stuff. So basically what they are doing here, it's a new law. It was drafted by the religious right group called Liberty Legal Institute. So basically the Supreme Court ruled 45 years ago that the schools may not sponsor prayer, but Bible readings and other forms of religious worship have generally extended that principle to allow it in some cases, in some ways. But they've never really made peace with that, the right. So they're constantly working on ways to restore prayer to schools. So what they are doing at this point is adopting a way that the students can institute these things, and saying that it's the students who are doing it. It's part of the whole fundamentalist churches thing. So the latest ploy is drafting the students as evangelists to preach to captive audiences, and they call it a limited public forum. And it's a form of free speech that's technically not sponsored by the school, you see, so they can do it. Now, what these drafters of the law are doing, a Houston attorney, his name is Kelly Coughlin, he's urging students to lead their peers in prayers before the beginning of the school day, as well as before football games and graduation ceremonies and school events. This whole thing about, for many years, students have been reluctant to stand up and express their faith in public schools for fear of being disciplined. I'm not sure if that's exactly it, but that's his story, and he's sticking to it. He said students should no longer have fear. Schools are not religion-free zones. Students of faith are not enemies of the state. The new law makes it very clear. So, and then on top of that, but recruiting the students to be the ministers, the Discovery Institute, which is a Seattle-based organization that promotes ID. Now, ID is intelligent design. They have a new textbook that promotes. They're promoting it to biology students all over the teachers all over the all of the nation. But it doesn't seek to explore evolution at all. It just tries to debunk it, and it uses the same old pseudo scientific arguments that are the stock and trade amongst the creationists. Talking about balanced treatment between evolution and creationism, which is absurd, and it's got to do with that young earth creationism thing that's going on. His name is Rusnew, best I can pronounce it. He is the public information director for the National Center on Science. He says this book called Explore Evolution is a real piece of work. He says everything from the author list to the contents reveal the book's deep links to the earlier generation of creationism, and he says, like previous creationist works, it attacks evolution with misrepresentations and misunderstandings, and says where the previous generation of textbooks claimed it was evidence of divine intervention, Explore Evolution leaps and tries to leave that up to the students and the teachers. I guess you can teach science and also teach, something completely made up, and present them both as science. This is also affiliated with the Bible Literacy Project, the BLP, and it's run by a wealthy religious right fellow named Charles Stetson. He's a graduate of, get this, the Charles W. Colson Wilberforce Centurion Training Program. That's a lot of words for a small mind. Colson embraces evangelical Christianity, and he also served time in prison for the Watergate offenses. And he is becoming increasingly strident and theocratic in his outlook, and he is one of the people behind putting these books in the public school. Just thought I would tell you. Now, before my people start beating me up that you know, you say you love Jesus, but you're not a Christian. If you've got to be supporting prayer, well, you know, I just don't like it snuck in. Besides the reputation the right-wingers have, you know, you don't need to be sponsoring anything at school. You know, the country's screwed up enough right now. Thank you. Can we have a moratorium? Now, this evening, Joe Vecchio will not be running a live show. Joe cannot be with us this evening with his nighttime Cup of Joe, which normally runs immediately after Strictly Confidential from 11 till midnight. However, John Fox show, Foxed Up, will be running live this evening, and John's show will begin at midnight, 12 midnight Eastern time. So be sure and stay tuned for John. He'll be with us soon. And I am awfully glad to be back with you this evening. Tomorrow we have a wonderful guest, the first male gay man who's elected to Alabama public service, and we'll be talking with him. And so, great. Love you guys. And here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. dollar slides, taking stocks along. The Dow down more than 360 points. We'll have the final numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business segment. On Capitol Hill, the House passing legislation this evening outlawing workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation. The White House threatens a veto. It now heads to the Senate. On the floor of Congress earlier today, French President Nicolas Sarkozy pledged to back the White House stand on Iran and Afghanistan, turning the page on 4 years of cool Franco-U.S. relations. Supporters of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto clashed with police in front of Parliament today. 400 were arrested. Meantime, President Bush is telling President General Pervez Musharraf that parliamentary elections must be held in January as Islamic militancy rises in the country. Interpol put five Iranians and a Lebanese man on its most wanted list today in connection with a 1994 bombing that killed 85 people at a Jewish community center in Argentina. That's the country's worst terror attack on record. Afghan President Hamid Karzai has declared 3 days of mourning for the 60 people killed yesterday in the country's deadliest suicide bombing since the U.S. invasion. Six of the dead were members of the Afghan parliament. Many of the victims were children. In southern Finland today, hours after a video predicting school violence was posted on YouTube, an 18-year-old gunman killed 8 people in a high school. He then reportedly shot himself and died at a hospital hours later. In U.S. election news, the Republican governor of Kansas, Ernie Fletcher, defeated in his re-election bid by Democratic challenger Steve Beshear. Mississippi's Republican governor, Haley Barbour, won re-election. In other races, the mayors of San Francisco, Houston, and Pittsburgh, all re-elected. Conservative Republican Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas, recently dropping out of the 2008 presidential race, endorsed Arizona Republican Senator John McCain for president. And televangelist Pat Robertson endorsed Republican Rudy Giuliani for president today. Although the former New York City mayor supports abortion and gay rights, Robertson urged evangelicals to overlook those differences. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We'll check science and business news just ahead. First, this message.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives, as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
A new report says New Orleans' population grew 19% in the past year to nearly two-thirds of its pre-Hurricane Katrina population. However, the report says the growth trend is not likely to continue. Schools, police, and other services remain inadequate at this time. After 15 days in space, the Space Shuttle Discovery landed safely at Cape Canaveral, Florida at midday today. In business, Washington Mutual expecting up to $2.9 billion in credit losses. More staff cuts in lending sector are possible. Shares of WaMu fell to their lowest level in 20 years. Morgan Stanley taking a new $3.7 billion hit from exposure to subprime mortgages, they say, as part of a spiraling global credit crisis. The Labor Department reports that worker productivity rose 4.9% during the year's fiscal first quarter, double the amount of the previous quarter. It's the biggest surge in U.S. worker productivity since 2003. According to AAA, the national average price for a gallon of unleaded gas went up nearly 2 cents to just over $3.04 a gallon. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow plunging 361 points to end at 13,300, NASDAQ down 76 points, S&P 500 down 45. And there's always more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look. Right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, hey! Welcome aboard, everybody, to Foxed Up here for a Wednesday night. Well, it's kind of Thursday morning, kind of, for everybody, well, except for the West Coast. But welcome aboard, Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And I tell you, it's going to be a slightly different show today. We're not really going to do the grain thing today because I think we've got something much more important to talk about. And that is...